Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Brian Ward.
Here in Yorkshire, we've had an amazing time of, it just seems to have been so head on over these last weeks, months, over the last year, of what God is really doing in us as a church, what God is doing in us as a community. And we had this conference, which was about 2 weeks ago now, I think. And I'm still trying to get my head around a lot of the stuff that was spoken at that. How many were there for this 15? There's quite a few. Those that weren't, you know, I really recommend that you get some of the downloads and just listen into that, really. But it's not just what we got at this 15. It's been what Pastor Paul has brought. It's been about, just a whole variety of people that have been speaking. Alex, I missed my son-in-law speaking a couple of weeks ago. But when I heard it on the podcast, you know, you just hear his heart for the passion of Jesus Christ. And that's what was sort of came out in the worship this morning. And when God touches your heart in such a way, in a fresh way, there's something that he just lifts us up. It's just something that breaks within us. That it's when we start to feel and see God's heart for the lost, you know, it's just something that touches us so strongly. And it affects our emotions, it affects who we are, it affects our lifestyle. Because what we start to do then is to come into line with what God has for us, rather than trying to step out of the things that God has for us and do it in our own strength. And as we step into the, it's coming into line, it's positioning ourselves under the river of life. It's positioning ourselves under the promises of God. It's positioning ourselves into a place that he's already seated us in the heavenlies. And when all the rubbish of life comes around us, everyday life, where we've got the jackals and we've got the owls and everything else that's outside that doesn't know Jesus Christ, these are the outward pressures that start to come in to affect us and the way we walk and the way we live and the way we talk. And what we've got to be careful is that we guard ourselves against such things, that we don't get caught up in the things of the world. We don't get caught up in the things that the world is interested in. But it says to be conformed by the renewing of our mind. You know, no longer conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the only way we can do that is by through the word. The only way we can do that is through worship. The only way we can do that is this relationship that we have with God, a God who loves us so much that he's from day one in Adam and Eve and in Genesis, that his creation was there to walk with him. His creation was there to have this, just to have this relationship with him as a creator God. And so it is. I remember when I was at Bible college, this only happened to me a couple of times, two or three times, because I'm very rare. When we ask God for something, he'll give it to us. Believe me, he'll give it to you. And when you start to ask God for the heart for loss, I think it's for about a good week or so, that I was probably in tears for a long time. And my heart just, there's a fire in my heart for the loss that just wouldn't go away. I can't describe it. It's not like heartburn, but there's something about God's heart that he showed me, that he gave me. I sensed it in my own heart for the lost at that time. And there's seasons that come and go when God will just bring that back to me, that there's people out there that are maybe going to hell, that there's people out there that are still lost, and it's our heart for the lost that we need to get hold of. Praise God, I'm saved. I know where I'm going to. But there's a lot of people out there that don't know where they're going to, and they're trying to find something that will stimulate them. They're trying to find something that will change their lifestyle. They'll try alcohol. They'll try drugs. They'll just try anything in the world that'll bring them something, a release from some of the things that the world is chucking at them or that they're already in. And the only thing that will bring them a change of life is the blood of Jesus Christ, is Christ himself. There's a guy I was talking to at work last week, and he doesn't work for the company I work for, but the company that we're positioned on, we work, if you like, another company's premises. And he decided to become a Muslim and follow the Islamic way of life. And so he grew his beard and he was there at his place of work, and he'd go out and he'd take his mat with him, and I saw him like that for about 6 or 7 weeks, and I started to speak to him. And he says, oh yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm really at peace, I'm just finding out, you know, about things about Allah and other things like that. And last week I saw him again and his beard had gone. And I spoke to him again. I said, well, I thought you were going to be becoming a Muslim and following Islam. And he said, oh, he said, I got letters and he's getting emails to move away from where he lives and to go and join ISIS. And he says, well, that's not for me. I says, no, it's not for you. No, I says, there's only one person that can fulfill your desires within your life. And his name's Jesus Christ. And I left it at that. It's something for him to think about. But it's giving little bits of nuggets. You know, it's so often we get caught up in the things of the world, in our workplaces and things like that, that the pressures from outside seem to come in and take away the peace and the joy and that which we rightly own because of the work of Jesus Christ. And so it's really today, it's looking at how do we guard against that? How do we guard against the things that come against us? It's all right saying we can declare the scriptures over our lives. That's a good start. But are we believing what we're saying? Are they taking effect? Whereabouts are our roots? What are we rooted into? Who are we rooted into? Because when we come to Jesus Christ, our roots are strong. But we have a choice, you know. Christianity isn't like, you know, it talks, we'll look at some scripture in a minute, but in Psalm 1 it talks about being planted by the river, you know, and the roots go down. And at this, Paul Manwaring was talking about temples and rivers. And wherever you see a temple in the Bible, there's always a river. And we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And what happens is a river of life flows out of our bellies. But we need to be able to recognize that within us and realize what we're taking outside is life. We're taking hope. We're taking the joy. We're taking peace. We're taking things of Jesus Christ out with us. It's the power of God within us. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in each of us. And yet we seem to blanket for whatever reason. We seem to blanket because of the pressures of work, the pressures of school, the pressures within the world seem to come along and try to rob and steal. And that's the devil's, you know, that's what the devil's there for. It says he prowls around like a roaring lion looking to see who can devour. He's not worried about the ones that aren't already saved. He's looking about the ones that are already saved and are going to, and are effective. And that's you and me. And that's why we need to guard our hearts. That's why we need to honor one another. That's why we need to love each other. That's why we need to build one another up and exalt, you know, encourage one another, raise each other up in the faith. But then it's also saying that rather than using my mouth and my tongue, Pastor Paul came out with a statement by Viktor Frankl or something like that. And he says, between the response and the stimulus is a space. And within that space, from where we're being stimulated by whatever we've been stimulated with, what's our response going to be? And there's a space, and that space can either be very narrow, that we say something that we regret that we've said, or that space we can just think for a moment or two and say, well, hang on a minute, the wisdom of God is different to the wisdom of man. What am I going to say in this situation? What am I going to do in this situation? So it's a lifestyle, a Christian lifestyle is about being being on our guard. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. It's whether we believe it or not. It's whether are we putting the things, the tools that we're equipped with into practice in our lifestyle. Is my heart's desire to spend time with a man who came onto this earth to die for us, to die for the sins of the world, to took my punishment upon his shoulders? When you read about the crucifixion, it's quite gruesome of what a man went through, but he went through it because that was the Father's will that he should do that, and because of the love that he had for his enemies. He calls us friends as well as enemies, but how can we be his friend if we're not saved at the time? You know, he did it for his enemies as well as for his friends, that he laid down his life. And that's the only way that God could see that he knew our hearts that hearts of stone are, you know, it says they're evil above all things. You know, at the overflow of the mouth, the heart speaks. But he gives us a new heart when we come to Jesus Christ. And it's that new heart we need to guard. It's that new heart we need to feed on. And so rather than allowing my tongue to be a tongue of bringing death and destruction, Father God, I pray that my tongue will bring life and hope and peace. That what I speak are words that you give me to speak and not my own words. Because as the Father speaks, it says his words do not return to him void, but accomplish that for which he has sent them. And that's to bring life, and that's to bring hope, and that's to bring joy into people's lives around us. No one ever said that the Christian walk was an easy one. But what it is, it's a hopeful one because we have a victory already. The victory's already won. It's so easy that that unfortunately we still have the flesh to tend with. But we're equipped to be able to walk in the promises of God, that the flesh comes into line with the Word of God. I loved it when Juliet did 100 days of happy things. Is she upstairs? Is she over there? Oh, you're there, Juliet. I loved that. She, on her Facebook page, she had 100 days of happy things. And every day she put something new up. And that just lifted my spirit, you know. It's so easy to be critical and despondent every day about something or somebody. But how, you know, we think, well, one happy days of happy thoughts and happy things that God has done for us that day. Just one thing, you know. Sometimes we're racking our brains and thinking, well, what has he actually given me today that I can be thankful for? Well, he's given you everything that day to be thankful for. When we sit down, you know, we could reel off a load of things that he's given us. A new day. It says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Why am I glad in today? Because God's made it. That he's left me on earth for another day that I can be effective and in someone else's life, that I might be able to bring something or an act of service to somebody that person might not have had. And yet we seem to be critical. You know, the criticism within our lives seems to overtake the positiveness of what God has done for us. One thing, can we thank God for one thing each day? It's not easy, but it's a good thing to look at. I suppose we should look at some scripture, shouldn't we? It helps, doesn't it? The Word of God. It's not just a word, you know. The Word of God, the enemy can use the Word of God. We see that when Jesus was going through the times of within the wilderness. The devil can use the words of God, but there's no power to those words unless we allow them. The devil has no power over you unless we give him that power. The power of Christ has overcome the power of the enemy. Okay? So it's not everything that the devil is doing to me. He can only be in one place at one time. I'm sure he's got a lot more people, a lot more influential than I am upon this world to go and trouble than come and trouble me. He has his demons, but they only just put thoughts in my mind. What do I do with those thoughts? Do we take hold of them and then allow them to be start to rob us of the peace and the joy that God's put in us? Or do we take it captive and chuck them out? So the enemy's got no power over you unless you allow him to have that power. In Revelation chapter 12, I believe, 12 and verse 11, it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. How do we overcome the enemy? It's by the blood of the Lamb that he's already done the work for us, but it's also by the word of your testimony. What's your testimony for today? What's your testimony for tomorrow and the day after? Each of us has a story to tell of how Christ has taken us from a dark place to a place of light, from the kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light, from death to life. And it's when we look in, I know Pastor Paul was looking at the woman of Samaria last week, and if we just turn to that passage in John chapter 4, it says there in verse 28, this is after this woman of Samaria, you know, the Samaritans and the Jews just didn't get on with one another. And but then Jesus went to the water pot and to the well where this woman was at. And after their discussion and realizing who Jesus was, she left her water jars in verse 28. And the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And they came out of the town and made their way towards him. And in verse 39 it says, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them and stayed 2 days. Come on, I want people to say, "Brian, come into my house and just tell me more. Come and stay with me for a couple of days because your story is just great." How many times do we tell our story to people on a daily basis? What do people know about your walk or my walk with someone who saved me? Because it has an effect on people. Because when you tell your story, someone can't say, "Well, that story's not true," because you know that story's true for you. You're a walking testimony of that, of what Christ has done in you. And so what they then do is saying, "Well, hang on a minute, there's something in this. I need to go and see for myself." And the Samaritan says, "Well, yeah, your story's good, but I found that for myself now." When Andrea bought Rob probably knows exactly the day, how many days he's been coming here, because God's done such a transformation in his life. But when Andrea is able to share her story with Rob, who is probably close to death's door that day, I'm sure Rob won't mind me sharing some of his story there. And that the depression has set in so much that he was reliant upon alcohol. And yet the day he came into this place, he came to see for himself of the story of what Christ did in Andrea's life and how that had changed her life, that he came to see for himself. And now he's coming on fantastically well. I'll let him, if you want to hear more, then go and talk to him. And so he's come to find that for himself, to say, "Well, hang on a minute, this story that this lady's been telling me about, is it true? I need to find that for myself." And it's the same for us, that you have a story in our life. Each of us has a story that we can go and tell somebody, and that they're going to come along and say, "Hang on a minute, I want to come and find out if that's true for me." It's not all about the Reinhard Bonnkes. You know, God raises up people, evangelists in certain areas and certain places, a Billy Graham's, to have mass crusades. But our crusade is normally, for each and every one of us here, is in our workplace. It's with our neighbors. It's when you come to little builders. It's when you come to do youth work. It's when you come to do street angels. It's when you're serving on the hub. This is a community that we're living in, as well as those who are called to mission work in Burkina Faso or other places in India. But we all have a mission field that we're able to tell our story, and it's by the blood of the Lamb and our testimony that people, we're able to overcome the enemy, but also we're able to bring others to know about the love of Jesus Christ who died for them. Another one there is in Luke's Gospel. Luke, let's have a look. Luke chapter 8 and verse 39. How many recall the story about a demonic possessed man upon an island that Jesus went to visit, and these demons came out of this man? I think they went into a herd of pigs and they ran across a cliff and drowned. This man was set free. And the man's reply to Jesus at the time was this. He says, "But the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with Jesus." He was begging Jesus, "Can I come with you? Can I come with you? Can I come with you?" And Jesus says, "No, go back to your town and tell them what God has done for you." It's not always about being with the, you know, being with those that God's raising up, you know, it's, we've got a mission field out there. It's go out and be effective out there. Tell your story of what God has done for you. I'm sure that when this man went out, it says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. The whole town, he told about what Jesus had done for him. How many of them do you think would have come along and said, well, I'm going to go and find this Jesus and find out for myself? Man, I used to know him. He was a man possessed. He was cast out to an island somewhere. He's come back, and look what God's done in his life. You see, when we come under the obedience of God, when we come to do the things that he calls us to do, it has an effect. You know, there's an effect. Through our obedience, God will work through us. When we're obedient to him, when we go to the places that he asks us to go to, when we do the things he wants us to do in our building, what happens then is that the presence of God, that the power of God, there's a dynamic within each of us that is released. There's a light, there's a love, there's the river of living water that flows out of each of us. And it touches every person that you come into contact with. It can't not. Darkness doesn't overcome the light. The light overcomes the darkness. It's a light within each of us that overcomes the dark places. We don't go in there with a fearful heart. We go in there as victorious. We go in there as champions. We go in there as God's elected. We go in there as God's, you know, God's chosen ones. It's a light that Claire takes into places where people are struggling financially, and she brings hope with. But it's not just the hope of getting out of debt physically, but there's something of the life of Christ that Claire takes into that place. And it's like every single person, I could go around the whole room, that every person in this place has an effect. Those that know Jesus Christ has an effect on somebody else out there. And it's not always about seeing hundreds and thousands come into Christ. It's about that relationship, that person that you've helped along the way. There was a guy that worked with me. I met him on the street 2 weekends ago during Street Angels. And his name's Danny, and he's an ex-army guy, and he worked with me at Scarborough Power, and then he got a job with me where I'm at now, up near Skelton. And he left there, and he got another job over at Driffield. But I've worked with him, and I've talked to him, and he knows where I stand with, and he knows about my faith in Jesus Christ. And he came over to me, and he'd been drinking. And he says, Brian, he says, you're the first person I've been able to talk to since this has happened to you. My granddad died 2 weeks ago. And he says, I don't know what it is, he says, but it feels like there's a part of me that's died with him. Because his granddad has such an influence upon his life. And he started to apologize to me for taking a mick out of the work of the Street Angels or about my faith. And I said, look, that doesn't bother me. But it's what the seeds that have been sown over the times and the years that I've known Danny that he was able to come to me that night and was able to share something of his grief and his hurt about his granddad. And I says, Danny, I says, you got my number. I says, just phone me when you want to, you know. But it's things that in life, we do things in life and we say things to people and we don't realize the effect that we have on people's lives. But God takes a seed. He takes your words. And they don't return to him void. But he transforms lives. And you might not see that life being transformed. It may be 20 years down the road that someone might get saved through. But you're a part of that person's testimony. He might be the first person that you've talked to. And what you're bringing into that person's life is life and hope. So our stories are important. It's with the blood of Christ and the word of our testimony that we're a powerful people. There's a power within us. Don't just chuck it down the sink, guys, but let's live it on a daily basis. Let's go out with, you know, life isn't easy, I know. Sharon and I have been through many things, as all of you have in this room, in your own way of being brought up, the way, you know, in each of our lives, there's stuff in the world that comes against us. But there's something greater that lives inside us. And that's the hope of glory, and that's Jesus Christ. And that is, he that is in us, it says, is greater than he that is in the world. But we seem to walk about as though we don't have anything in us. We've got nothing to give. You've got everything to give. I'm trying to encourage you this morning, guys, that every one of you are a powerful people. And sometimes the feelings around us and life's effects on us doesn't seem that way, but we are a powerful people, and it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And within that, as we walk and as we live our lives out, that little word in season, that testimony that we have for somebody can change their lives, can put them on the road to recovery, can turn their lives around. And one day you might see them in the same church as you, or maybe they go somewhere else, but maybe that day will come when you see them in heaven. And so we need to be a people of thankfulness. I love that song that Alex and their worship team were singing. First of all, Be Thou My Vision. You know, some of the old songs are some of the good songs. We need to bring them out of the closet, as Andy Elms used to say, you know. Because there's power, you know, there's power then and there's power now, you know, that when people are anointed to write a song, it doesn't die with them. New songs are great, don't get me wrong, but there's also the old songs of revivalist songs. You know, I love it when Paul Manwaring says that we're all revivalists. We always look at other people thinking they're revivalists. We're all a revivalist in our own way. Lottie, I hope you guard that word that God brought you through Paul Manwaring about writing songs of revival of today. There's power. People have giftings in this church that you don't realize how precious they are. But God sees how precious you are in his hands. And he's molding you, and he's creating you, and he's setting you apart. And it's with that creativity, and it's with that love and that gentleness that he does it. Sometimes if there's a stubbornness within us, it can be painful when he takes it out. But that's so that the facets of Christ himself shine more brightly out of us. It says in, let's have a look, 2 Corinthians 2:14. You know, I was this morning, 8:15, I was downstairs. It might have been maybe 7:45, I don't know. But we had the marriage empowerment at 9:15, and so this weekend has been fairly full on for us. And Shona came down and she says, "How's it going, Brian, for this morning?" And I showed him a notepad and it's a blank bit of paper. But I says, "Well, I know what God's got in my heart." He said, "I said, I just don't know how to write it down, you know." And so, I don't know, my bit of paper, it's just a few psalms written down on there and verses. But it's just allowing God to be real in us, you know. We don't always get it right, and that goes for everybody in this room, whether you're speaking from the front or whoever we are, that we do fall down, but it's how quickly do we get back up again? How long are we going to give the devil room to squash and to squash us? But, or are we going to say, "Hang on a minute, I'm a victor in Christ Jesus"? So yeah, so let's repent quickly and get back on the road that Christ has put us on, so that we're effective and we're able to move forward. Let's in 2 Corinthians 2:14, you know, I was talking earlier about how God places us by the water side. I think it's in Isaiah 61, it talks about planting of an oak tree. You know, he's planted us, he's taken us and he's planted us, and we're like oak trees. And there's something solid, there's something beautiful about an oak tree that doesn't move. It's a sturdy tree when it's in its fullness. And sometimes I think we look at Christianity as like being a bit of a veneer. It's just surface deep. It's just something that you can peel back rather than an oak, solid oak. When you look at a solid piece of furniture that's made of oak, it's different to a veneered piece of oak that's just got maybe one or two layers on it. So let our Christianity be something and realize that what's in us is like an oak tree. It's not a veneer that's just effective on the outside. When I was a kid, I used to love my bits of rock, my sticks of rock. My dad used to get me when I come to the seaside here in Scarborough. And I used to love it because he used to bite into it. He suck it on the end and it goes soft and he bite into it. And the name Scarborough goes down a bit further, you know. These days, they rip you off, you know, because Scarborough's only on the ends of the rock. Whether they're saving money, I don't know. Whether there's... And so all you get is Scarborough on the ends. And when you bite into it, there's nothing further down. Very superficial, isn't it? But Christianity isn't superficial. There's a depth and there's a solidness to it. It's an oak tree. God calls us oak trees. We're not just a thin covering. On this floor here, when I was sanding it down, when we moved in, you had to be careful because it's only layers of oak. You know, it's only maybe two or three layers. So as you're sanding it, if you're not careful, you'll just get down to the wood that's underneath there, which isn't maybe as good as the oak itself. But you are an oak tree planted by God. It's nothing just surface deep on you that's of Christ. It's Christ in me. It's work that it doesn't... It's not about being on the surface, it's about the work within us. It's the Spirit within me that then reveals the glory and the beauty of God on the outside of me and then the outside of you. I'll get to this verse now. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I think this is Paul as he writes to the Corinthians. And he says here in verse 14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal possession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God an aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? We do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity like men sent from God. There's a beauty, there's an aroma, there's a fragrance of Christ that comes out of us. It's what you take into your workplace. I remember going to Nigel, when we first set up the church here, Nigel, as yourself and Pastor Paul and Sharon and myself, and we used to come over to his surgery to pray because there's an effectiveness that Nigel was able to see in the spirit that wasn't of God in that place, in his workplace. So we went there with Nigel and we prayed on several weeks, on a day over 2-3 weeks. And it's because what we take into our place with us is an aroma. It's a sense of the beauty of God. It's something of Christ that we take into that workplace. And where the light is, the darkness cannot shine. And so the patients that Nigel sees in his surgery, you know, he brings something of Christ into that person's life. Not by speaking a word or something like that, but just of the aroma and the smell and the beauty and the light of God that's within him. It's spread out amongst the surgery, in your school places, your teachers, in your universities, in your workplaces. We take something of Christ with us. There's an aroma, there's something beautiful that rises up to God. And he says, you're the ones I've placed in this place. Psalm 7 and verse 17. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. And we'll sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. I will give thanks to the Lord for his righteousness. That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? His righteousness. That he's made each and every one of us righteous. That he's dressed us in a robe of righteousness. That he sees you as beautiful. When we get up for work in the morning, what coat are we putting on to go out to work with? Come on. The robe of righteousness is upon us. Can we thank God for that? Psalm 28, verse 7, it says, "Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him in song." Isn't there a song, a new song that rises up within us when things are going hard? Can we not raise a song to the Lord and be thankful for what he's done for us? Not this little light of mine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Can you cut that one out, Dave, when we put the recording out? Paul won't like to hear that one. This little light of mine. This is big light of mine. We have a big light that shines. Maybe that's one song you need to change, Lottie. This huge light of mine. Psalm 30, verse 11 and 12. You know, David, give me a heart after David's heart. What a man. You know, he had his troubles. He had so many enemies coming after him, more than I ever have. And yet in his place, you know, he's a man after God's own heart, that he was able to sing, he was able to praise him. Even when the world was coming around upon his shoulders, he'd cry out in despair. And yet when he went to praise God, there was something beautiful. There was an aroma that went up to God. And he found that place of peace again. That seat that Pastor Clive was talking about, the seat of rest. Not rest as in not doing anything, but a seat of the rest of God, you know. As we operate out of there, there's, and we sing songs to God. The things that are happening around us, the chains that seem to bind us, just snap and break off. As he rises us up and he says, "You are my people, you're my chosen ones, you're the ones that I love. I've created you for a purpose, and that's to have a relationship with me. So share that with those that are still out there, the jackals and the owls. You turned my wailing into dancing, you removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Put your jacket of joy on tomorrow, put your coat of praise on tomorrow as you go out to work. Let's not get into the world's mindset of I hate Mondays. You know, I don't know what Bob Geldof was thinking about when he wrote that. But he obviously wasn't a man of God. I loved his songs then, but I wasn't saved either. But, but let's love Mondays. Let's love a Monday. Come on. What are you taking out with us? That my heart may sing to you and not be silent. Oh Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Let's give God thanks forever, every day. Psalm 107, verse 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. It says, let the redeemed. Who's the redeemed of the Lord today? Well, there's a few. I says, who's the redeemed of the Lord today? If you're not redeemed of the Lord today, then come and see me afterwards, because I want to tell you about someone that wants to redeem you, that he's already redeemed you. What does it say? Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. So what are we saying? We're saying, give thanks to the Lord. Let's give thanks. Oh, Father God, I'll just give you thanks for today. Why? Because you're just good. You're a cool guy to hang out with. You're just great. His love endures forever. Father, I just thank you for your love today. It endures forever. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. How can it be? He is love. He is love. The redeemed shall say this. The Lord says this. Those who are redeemed from the hand of the foe, those who gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south, shall say, the Lord is good. God is good. His love endures forever. I think we should just finish by singing that first song we were up. Alex, can you bring the worship team up? You are my vision. And as we sing this song, you know, just let him be your vision. Vision for the rest of the day, vision tomorrow, vision the day after. That you're an oak of righteousness. That you have a story to tell. And by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, you'll see people come into Christ. Amen. You'll see seeds being sown into people's lives that will change them. The way we walk, the way we talk. Let it all bring glory to a loving God.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.